Amen. Sometimes we got to take that step of faith. Amen. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 tonight. Sunday nights for some time now we've been studying angelology. And I believe that the Lord wants us to know what the Bible records concerning the existence of angels. And it's in the Word of God. And so we started a series back in May and had to postpone a little bit during the month of June for our Faith Promise missions, but then we've been back in it since then. And I trust it's been a help to you. We've studied what the Bible says about angels. And so just a little bit of review here is, first of all, we allow the Scriptures to teach us. There's a lot of philosophies. There's a lot of personal experiences. There's a lot of different things, books that you might read. But the most accurate book is the Bible, amen? And God, whatever's in the Bible, God wants us to know about. And there are the teachings of angels. And so we allow the Scriptures to teach us. We do not have an exhaustive study on angels. Nowhere in the Bible does it say this book of the Bible is to help us to understand about angels. But God has recorded it throughout the Word of God. And so we learn from what has been recorded. There's four basic kingdoms that God has established. The spiritual kingdom was that which was created first, the spiritual kingdom, according to the Word of God. Then there was the material kingdom, the heavens and the earth, and all that was there during the creation. Then the animal kingdom. The last of all is the crown of creation was the human kingdom. That's humanity. And everything else was prepared for this kingdom. Everything was prepared for humanity. And so we know those four basic kingdoms. That's why the Bible reveals to us. Angels have a will and are judged by God. We see that. We notice that in Scriptures. Angels do not have a body. They are ministering spirits. Ministering spirits. The Bible says all angels are ministering spirits. Unlike angels, redeemed man are destined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We're going to have glorified bodies. Angels are not. They are not humanity. They were not created in the image and likeness of God as humans were. But they are, angels are spirits, okay? Angels are not subject to death or extinction. They will exist somewhere throughout eternity, okay? So just like man, we have an eternal spirit, and we are going to exist throughout eternity in one of two places. The Bible reveals the place of hell and a place of heaven, a place where Satan was created for Satan and his angels. We've studied that. And then we have the place, the abode of God. And so angels are not subject to death or extinction. Angels do not reproduce. They cannot be numbered by man. They were created to worship and to serve the Creator. They differ in powers given to them by God. They minister to the redeemed. They guide, they defend, and they deliver, as we studied. They cannot be seen unless God would allow you to see them, and then it would be entertaining angels unaware. Do not spend time looking for angels. Do not spend time wanting to talk to angels. They're not here for your fellowship. They're not here for your communication. They are here to serve God. And so we serve God, and whatever an angel might do, you give praise and honor to God the Father. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. And so we are not looking to seek out a relationship with angels. We are not looking to pray through angels. Amen. That's not what the Scriptures say and teach us, but they are real. Okay, so this is what we've studied up to this point. Now we're looking in Matthew chapter 12. And if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 22 down to verse 28. As we have studied the existence of the holy angels of God, and God wants us to be aware of them, because just being aware of their presence can give you a sense of peace and comfort. And it's a blessing to know that there are multiple, innumerable angels all around us. And there are guardian angels. They are there to minister to the redeemed. And so God wants us to know about their existence. But we also find in the Scriptures, Christ revealed some things for us to learn about the fallen angels. And that's what we're looking at tonight, our first lesson on this. And so Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, or Satan. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in church. And now as we continue our study and what you have given to us concerning spiritual beings, I just pray, God, that we would continue to gain knowledge and insight from your word so that we might better know how to live with the existence of spiritual beings all around us. Pray, God, that you would just bless in the teaching and the preaching of your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So in verse 26, now, of course, as we're looking at this right here, there was a man that was brought to them. He was deaf and dumb. Not every sickness is due to demon possession. Not every sickness is brought on by evil, okay? And we know that in the scriptures, but this particular man evidently was demon-possessed. And they saw Jesus cast out this demon, and which brought healing to this man, to where he could then see and he could hear. But the Pharisees and the religious scribes at the time, they wanted to try to find anything that they could to disprove that Jesus would be the Messiah. And so they said this idea that he cast out this devil by the power of the devils, the power of Satan. And Jesus confronted them, and this is what he reveals to us that we can look at even today. And he says that Satan will not go against himself, or that would destroy his kingdom. In verse 26, it said, If Satan casts us out, Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Now that was something that Jesus presented, and it's recorded in the scriptures. The idea there is the devil has a kingdom. The Bible wants us to be aware of that. I know this was during the apostolic age, and I understand they didn't have the completion of scriptures and things were a little bit different, but that does not change the fact that Satan has a kingdom. And we are facing that spiritual kingdom every day of our lives. Whether you're aware of it or not, it does not eliminate the thought and the fact that there is a spiritual satanic kingdom. His kingdom is made up of him and the fallen angels that look to serve him. So we find here that Satan has an earthly spiritual kingdom that humanity faces every day. How do you say, what do you mean it's an earthly? Well, he was cast out of the abode of God. We understand that heaven, we've already studied that, heaven is not out beyond outer space. Heaven is a different dimension. And we find that it's a dimension that angels come and go from, heaven to earth, and they're all around. But Satan is no longer, can he go into the abode of God? He cannot go into the place of heaven because of what took place even before humanity was placed on earth. Satan was cast out of the abode of God. He was cast out of heaven. Revelation chapter 12. Now this is what the Bible says. This is what we're studying here, is what the Bible reveals concerning the existence now not only the holy angels, but the existence of the demonic angels, the demons, the devils, the evil spirits. They are real. The Bible says in the book of Revelation in chapter 12, it gives us an insight into what took place. The Bible says in verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and that the dragon fought and his angels. And he prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. So they left the abode of God. They left the spiritual kingdom of God in heaven, and they were cast out into this atmosphere of earth. If you look up to look down to verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, in the abode of God, because he is no longer there. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now this is Bible. This is what has been written and preserved for us, so we understand that. He says, woe. He said, this is something we had better be aware of, because it will impact your life whether you're aware of it or not. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's very much aware that God created a place of eternal damnation. He created a place of hell prepared for Satan and his angels. And he is here with great wrath to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible reveals that about him. So fallen angels are referred to as devils or evil spirits. The Greek word for demon is rendered devil in the English language. Demon is not found in the Bible. The idea of devil is, but if you look back to the Greek word for that can either be translated into devil or demon. In our English translation, it is rendered devil in our English translation. Fallen angels serve Satan as holy angels serve God. Now praise the Lord that we need to be aware of the holy angels and the blessing that they bring, but we need to also be aware of the fallen angels, the spirits that serve the devil. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, he says, woe. We are the inhabitants of the earth. They are here. There is spiritual warfare being fought every day of our lives. Satan wages war against man's desire to follow after and serve God. That's why he's wrath. He was cast out. And now he has waged war against man's desire, because he knows that man was the crown of God's creation, that man was created in the image and the likeness of God. And God wants man to love him. God wants man to serve him. He's given us a free will. We were not made robots forced to love and to serve God. We were given a free will, and God wants us to love and serve him out of our desire to love and serve him. I've used that illustration many a times, because as a grandpa, and got 7 grandchildren, it's a blessing to me. I want my grandchildren to want to be around grandpa. I want them to want to spend time with me. I want them to want to love me. You see, when they come over and they're having a bad day, and my daughters have to say, go hug your grandpa. And they say, no, I don't want to hug my grandpa. Go hug your grandpa. Yes, that takes something out of it. When they come crying and forced to come over and hug, it just takes something out of that hug. But when they show up at the house and they look at me with bright big eyes and their hands out, and grandpa, grandpa, and they run and they want to give me a hug and they want to spend time with, can I tell you, that does something for me. And I was created in God's image and after his likeness. God desires, that's why he gave us a free will. God desires us, humanity, to choose him over the temptations of the devil, over the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. God wants humanity to choose him. A free will. Satan is here to try to keep you from choosing him. Satan's number one goal is to keep everybody from ever receiving Jesus as Savior. Because if he can keep you from salvation, he can take you to a devil's hell with him. If he's lost that and you have been saved, then he goes to plan B. His plan B is to render you useless for the cause of Christ. Get you caught up in sin, ruining your testimony and your ability to serve. Wow. That's the devil. He wages war against man's desire to follow after and to serve God. God's given us a little bit of an insight into this with the testimony of Job. Look there with me. Job chapter 1. What Christian does not know of the book of Job? And what Christian has never been comforted by what Job went through? It's a comfort to know. But sometimes we go through battles for reasons we don't even know why. But it's a test of our faith. So we find here the spiritual battles are being fought daily. He wages that war against man's desire. And we find here in Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. They're having a worship of God. They're wanting to dedicate their lives to God. That's what's going on. And the Lord said unto Satan, now this is something spiritual that would have taken place, and don't have time to go into all the details here, but God has recorded it for us to know that Satan, and then Satan answered, or the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth. That's where he was cast out. That's where Satan's domain is. And from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made an hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the hand. He says, surely anybody would give you praise if you bless them like that. If everything is hunky-dory, amen. You have everything you want. There's no sickness. There's nothing taking place. Who wouldn't serve you if you give them everything that they desire to have? That's what's going on. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan wages war against man's desire to follow and to serve God. Are you serving God only because you have good health? Are you serving God only because of the blessings that God bestows upon you? That means that you won't serve him if you have to go through a trial. You won't serve him, you won't praise him if you go through cancer, if you go through financial stresses. You go through something that is not typical of the blessings of God. That's what he says. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So God has to allow Satan to bring temptations in our life. God has to allow Satan to even work against us to test our faith. But he can only work in an area that God would allow him to. If God allows it, then God has a purpose for something good to come out of it. Chapter 2. We know what took place there in chapter 1 and all the loss of his children, his wealth, his health. His wealth and all the servants. Now in verse 3 it says this, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and cheweth evil? And still, even after I allowed you to take all of his children, after I allowed you to do everything you've done to him to this point, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. You've moved me to allow you to do that. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And Satan would try to attack Job in his flesh to get him to turn on God, to lose a desire to love and to serve him. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. You can't take his life. You can do whatever else you want. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal and sat down among the ashes, understanding the immense pain and suffering that Job would have been going through to do that. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. It's exactly what Satan wanted Job to do. Now, God did not say, do it to Job's wife. He said, do it to Job. He's a man of integrity. He's a man that loves me from his heart. He will never curse me. He will never turn his back on me. His faith is strong. But he, Job, said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Our God has to have a purpose and a plan, even though we don't understand it. There has to be, because we know who God is. We know that God is love. We know that God is full of grace and mercy. So there's something going on that we don't know about, but I will never turn my back on my God. I will never curse him. I will never stop serving him. I will never stop worshiping him. That's Job. And in all this, did not Job sin with his lips? See, that type of battle is still taking place today. Satan is the same today. God's the same today. That's exactly what Satan is trying to do. Now, what God's allowed to come into your life, I can't tell you the reason behind it. No one knows that but God. And sometimes God will give us peace and he'll give us insight at times. But if we go through something, we know that if we love God and are called according to his purpose, all things work together for good. You can't claim that if you are not saved, if you don't love God and you're not part of his family. But if you are, then you know that. And Satan's trying to get you to curse God and die. Wow. There was another example in Luke in chapter 22. And Jesus here gave us this example of Peter. Luke in chapter 22. And if I go too fast, just write it down. But let me read it to you. Luke chapter 22. Jesus instructed Peter because he knew that Satan was going to come after him. Because he knew that Peter loved God. He knew that Peter would have laid down his life for him as he said he would. He knew that Peter would be instrumental in the apostolic age. And Jesus said this to Peter, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, be aware of this, Satan. Satan is real. He's a part of this. You can't see him, but he's real. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He's aware of your faith in me. He's aware that I am going to work in and through you. He's aware of what you're here on this earth to observe and how that you will be very instrumental in serving God. He's trying to take away your sift you as wheat is take away your usefulness for him. take the wheat and just leave the chaff. The wheat is what's useful. He wants to take away your usefulness to God. And can I tell you, Satan wants to do that to every one of us. He wants to take away your usefulness for the cause of Christ, your testimony. The light that you have in you in a very dark world. The truth that you are aware of in a world that's blinded to truth. Satan wants to take that away from you. He does not want you to use that for the glory of Christ. Wow. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When you're going through some of the things that you're not even realizing what it is that you might have to go through, don't ever lose faith. Hang on to your faith. Yeah. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you get through that temptation, when you get through that trial, when you get through Satan trying to sift you and you make it through that, then strengthen the others as well with the testimony that you have. Yeah. These spiritual battles are being fought daily. Being fought daily in your mind, in your home, at your work site, at school, in society, with family, with friends. Yeah. Ephesians in chapter 6. Ephesians in chapter 6. It's what the Bible teaches us that's real. Spiritual warfare is real. We have the holy angels of God. Can I tell you, praise God, when you understand spiritual warfare and you understand that this earth is Satan's domain and there are the fallen angels of spirits are here, you'll appreciate more the angels of God, serving God. Yeah. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the word of God helping us to understand that Satan's coming after us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what's being fought. That's the battles that are raging on a daily basis. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy, this is just what the Bible says about it. That's what we're looking at. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Timothy, God had special plans for young Timothy. Paul's writing to Timothy and he said, understand this. I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You're in a spiritual warfare, and you've got a war, a good warfare. You have to look to God and fight this spiritual warfare as God wants us to fight this spiritual warfare, and that is through Jesus Christ. Yeah. Holding faith. Where's your faith based on? The Bible. Without the Word of God, you don't have anything to base your faith on that's going to stand when it needs to stand. The Bible has been preserved by God. The Bible, God says about the word of God, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This Bible is every word that God has for us. Hold on to it. Don't let anybody take your Bible away. Amen. Don't let anybody water it down. Don't let anybody tell you there's several Bibles out there. Pick the one you want to read. No, I want to read the one that God's preserved. Amen. Yeah. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Just turn them over because that's the way they're going. They may learn not to blaspheme. Wow. Fallen angels should not be feared by believers. I love that. Satan is not to be feared. Satan is to be made aware of. Fallen angels, evil spirits need to be made aware of and how they can impact our lives. But as a born-again believer, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. That's talking about the devil and his spirits, his angels, his demons. Greater is he that's within you. You don't have to, as long as you know that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. He can't come in. It's already occupied. God lives within me. Satan cannot possess me. He cannot come into me because I am occupied with the Spirit of God. Amen. Because of that, I don't have to fear him. I need to be aware of him. To know how to battle, I've got to know how he's going to come at me. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. That means how he is going to attack me in the different ways. If I'm aware of them, then I have the help that I need through Christ to defeat him. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That's what God gives us. We are not to fear him. Because we are more than conquerors. We are more than victories over him. God's given us the victory through Jesus Christ. Know that. We're not to fear him. But the thing that we have to do concerning Satan and his demons, resist them. You might not even realize when you turn away from a desire to sin, you've just resisted the devil. When you turned away from a wrong thought and you say, I don't want that funk thinking in my mind, I reject that, you've just stood against the devil. You've just turned away and resisted him. James chapter 4, almost done here, almost done. Just this is introduction to this demonology, if you will, at this point. James chapter 4. They're not to be feared. Think of the holy angels of God. That'll bring a smile to your face. Think of guardian angels and what they're doing on behalf of Christ for you. That'll help you. That'll give you peace. Yeah. But they are to be resisted because it's a part of our lives. They'll work through the lust of the flesh. All of us have it. You don't have to give in to it. They'll work through the lust of the eyes. All of us have it. You don't have to give in to it. They'll work through the pride of man. All of us have it. You don't have to give in to it. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That's the key. If you're submitted to God, you will not submit to the devil. If you submit yourself to God every day to serve him, you will not serve the devil. You will not give in to the lust of the flesh. You'll not give in to the lust of the eyes. You'll not give in to the pride of life because you've submitted yourself to God. And that's what God wants. But Satan is waging war against man's desire to submit to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God says, if you truly resist him and you present the testimony of Christ, he'll run. Yeah. But you have to present the testimony of Christ. That's what he says next. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands. Make sure that you're cleansing. You don't allow this filth to come on you. You're cleansing yourself of that. That's living for Christ. That's a Christian testimony. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Yes, we're sinners, but we don't have to live in sin. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to purify our hearts, make sure that we have right thinking, make sure that we have right desires. And the way that we do that is to look to Jesus Christ and follow after him. And if you're following after him, submitting to him, you're not going to submit to the evil temptations that will be upon us. Devils flee from Christ in the home. You find a home that is founded on the words of God, that have devotions, and you pray together, and you look to honor Christ in your home. You're not bringing in the filth of the world through the television, not bringing in the filth of the world through the technology of internet. And you're loving one another, you're supporting one another as God wants you to do. Can I tell you, Satan can't stay there. Because Christ is going to, in the testimony, Christ runs him off. But you find a house, a home that is built on drugs, they have alcohol, and they cuss, and they do everything that Satan wants them to do. I'll tell you what, evil spirits flourish in that home. You walk into that home, you can sense the difference. You can walk into an establishment that serves alcohol and does everything ungodly and appeals to the lust of the flesh, and there is a feeling there that is evil. And you go into an establishment that honors God and His ways, and there's a sense of the angels of God. There's a peace in that place. In the home, in a nation, United States have had the protection of a lot of demonic activity because of Christianity. As we fall away from Christianity, you'll find that the spirit of Satan is going to be more and more active in our society, as he already is today. Yeah. Devils flee from Christ and his presence. One last passage of scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5. Make your heart conducive, your mind conducive for the spirits of God to rule and reign. The peace of God, the joy of the Lord. You fill your mind and your heart with all the evil, I guarantee you, evil spirits flourish. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be aware of what's taking place around you. Whether it's in your own heart and mind, it's in your home, in your church, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your nation. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may, and this is his plan, devour. Take away your desire to follow after and serve God. Wow. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. He's there. This is his domain. It really is. He's the prince of the power of the air. His presence, whether you can't see him with the naked eye, but you can sense his presence and you can feel his presence. Him and his fallen angels that serve him. But when you choose Christ and you choose right over wrong, you'll experience more of the angels of God. You'll experience more of his place in your, his presence in your place. Amen. We make those choices. We make those choices every day. Let's choose to follow after Christ and resist the devil. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. There are ministering spirits of God, holy angels, and there are demons. There are devils, the evil spirits that follow after and do the bidding of the devil himself. It's just a matter of fact. We have to be aware of it. We don't have to fear it. If you're living for Christ, you don't have to fear, because you have his power, his presence, his help. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for what you have revealed to us in the Word of God concerning things that we need to be aware of. I pray, God, that we would not leave this place being afraid, but being aware and knowing what it takes to get the victory. I pray, God, that there would not be one person leave this place without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior, because your presence within them guards against the indwelling of an evil spirit. Gives us the victory. I pray that we would all know that, and then we would submit and yield to you and resist. Pray that you'd work now in this invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.